This is Prostate Cancer and You, a podcast produced by the Massachusetts Prostate Cancer Coalition. Mission: to educate, connect, and support men at risk, newly diagnosed individuals, survivors, and their families. It also connects organizations and professionals in Massachusetts seeking to conquer and cure prostate cancer. Hello, I'm Jordan Rich. At the 2026 MPCC Prostate Cancer Symposium, we heard from several wonderful speakers. The closing keynote featured Dr. Howard R. Sewell, PhD, Chief Science Officer and Executive Leader of the Prostate Cancer Foundation for the past three decades, where he coordinated global academic, government, and biopharmaceutical sector research activity. He was interviewed by Dr. Adam S. Feldman, a urologist at the Massachusetts General Hospital Department of Urology, specializing in the treatment of cancer and related research. Dr. Feldman is a faculty member and urologic oncologist in the Department of Urology at Massachusetts General Hospital and director of the combined Harvard Urologic Oncology Fellowship.
It's a wonderful to be here. It's a real pleasure and really appreciate the opportunity to lead this discussion with Dr. Sewell. So I just want to quickly, if I could, just introduce Dr. Howard Sewell. Until his retirement in December 2025, Dr. Howard Sewell was the Prostate Cancer Foundation's Chief Science Officer and Executive Vice President since 1997. For nearly three decades, he has guided the PCF's scientific strategy and research investments, helping to transform the landscape of prostate cancer care. Under his leadership, the PCF has invested more than $690 million in over 2,200 research projects worldwide, supported nearly 500 early career investigators, and catalyzed bench-to-bedside discoveries that helped drive the development of 14 life-extending therapies for patients with prostate cancer. Dr. Sewell has also served on the Department of Defense Prostate Cancer Research Program Integration Panel and the Department of Veteran Affairs and PCF Steering Committee. He mentored the development of multiple nonprofit research organizations after the PCF model, and in 2013 received the ASCO Partners in Progress Award. I just want to comment, I first met Howard in 2007 when I was a urologic oncology fellow at the American Urological Association National Meeting. I think Howard may remember this. I went to a lunch with the experts session to get advice on my own research in urine biomarkers and active surveillance. And Howard came up to me, we met, and he told me to apply for a PCF Young Investigator Award. And he really helped me launch my career in research. Also, the last three physicians who you just saw in the last session, including nearly all of the physician participants of this whole symposium and board members of the MPCC, were all PCF young investigators and funded investigators for whom Howard and the PCF has really played an integral role in the success of their careers. As I've witnessed Howard really over the past, you know, maybe 20 years, I've personally witnessed the incredible way that he would bring together scientists from all different backgrounds, pulling on expertise from completely different fields to think outside the box, integrating academia and industry, all resulting in an enormous win for the improvement of care for men with prostate cancer. So it's really my incredible honor to introduce and interview Dr. Sewell for the session today. So thank you, Howard, for taking the time, and welcome.
And thank you, Dr. Feldman, for that extremely generous introduction. Greatly appreciated. It's been a great ride. It's not that my brain has stopped thinking about oncology, especially urological oncology, but doing it in a different way these days. I am extremely proud of our team at PCF, that without which patients would not be having the discussions with the last session, which I caught the tail end of, about the new treatments, because those are all seeded ideas from PCF over decades of really heavy lifting. So thank you, and glad to be here today.
Great. Wonderful. So we will do probably about 20 to 25 minutes of discussion, with myself and Dr. Sewell, and then, you know, take some questions. And then I think some questions can be submitted online, and then we'll get to those. So Howard, how you've been really integral in the development and the success of the Prostate Cancer Foundation for over three decades. You were there when it started. Can you please tell us a bit about how you became involved in the PCF, how you were able to make the PCF such a successful organization and driver of prostate cancer research and progress?
Well, first of all, Adam, it takes an army to achieve these sorts of things. Incredible fundraising, incredible leadership, and we've had it throughout the years, and it continues to plow on in the foundation does and what it's doing. I think, I came from actually a cardiovascular research environment when somehow Mike Milken found me. And we started on this 30-year plus journey together, trying to change the world. As you know, many of your viewers might know, at the symposium, Mike Milken changes the world every day, and prostate cancer is one that's very personal to him. He talks about it. But I had the opportunity early on to shape what the research portfolio would look like. And the super opportunity to create a community of people, scientists, physicians, engineers, mathematicians, you name it. Everybody was invited to the fight. Everybody was invited to the conversation, and everybody was invited to the lab and the clinic, including major pharmaceutical companies, startup pharmaceutical companies, wannabe pharmaceutical companies. Everybody was welcome in our tent. And I think the welcoming nature of the foundation, which lives on today, and will live on forever, is really the legacy that we all can be proud of. I can't think of another. Yes, there was great exuberance over pancreas cancer at ASCO last week, and that is a totally wonderful thing. And that was a lot of heavy lifting of laboratory science over many decades. But for prostate cancer, Dr. Saylor was using the analogy, or Einstein, one of them, the analogy of shots on goal. I can't think of a better community, tighter knit than the prostate cancer community, that has taken more shots on goal. And the refinement in primary treatment by people like yourself, Adam, urologists, radiation oncologists, even now with the again from ASCO last week, with the output of data on high-risk prostate cancer patients benefiting from anti-androgen therapy, I think the world has changed, and that community marches on. And it's really everything that community does focuses on the patient. And that's what I woke up thinking every day for 30 years plus, and will continue to do so.
Yeah, it makes me actually think. I mean, I'm actually we're sort of also while we're doing the MPCC, there's also the prostate cancer spore meeting, the Harvard Cancer Center prostate cancer spore meeting, which we're all attending. One of the things that I'll admit this is an off the cuff question, but one of the things that the PCF really has done is to work well with other organizations, and I think that has allowed a lot of collaborative research. Maybe you can just comment on that, on how you were able to really, you worked well with not only just PCF, but the DoD. They fund a ton of research. And then, there's a lot going on that you're able to really crosstalk between the organizations.
Yeah, the DoD, or as now known as the DOW, the Department of War, still getting used to that one, has been a billion-dollar baby. I mean, literally $1 billion in prostate cancer research, which came to prostate cancer from the advocacy of PCF and Michael Milken back in the day. Peter Scardino, storied urologist from Sloan Kettering, was an amazing advocate for that program. And being a part of the panel that makes the final funding decisions for that organization has also been very enabling. Having a window on everything going on in the field, helping young scientists and physicians start their careers, more seasoned people taking on huge research programs, especially in the area of clinical development of new agents for advanced prostate cancer. All of this has benefited the patients and benefited my role at PCF, not the least of which is advising most of the spores. I don't know why I'm not in Boston today advising yours, because I was in Madison, Wisconsin just last week advising the University of Wisconsin Spore Grant. For those of you that don't know, these are large institutional grants that Dr. Feldman is a part of at the Harvard Cancer Center on a disease-specific issue. In our case, it's been the prostate cancer spores, and I've lost track of how many there are now, but centers of excellence like Michigan, Wisconsin, Sloan Kettering, et cetera, all have these imprimatur grants. So, yes, if you look at the projects in most of the spores, and there are usually three or four projects in the spore grant, they were all seeded by PCF. I remember when Max Loda first kicked off yours at Dana-Farber, every project in that spore, that original spore, was a PCF-funded person or a PCF-funded project. So our impact is felt widely within the community, and that's now the Department of War. It's the National Institutes of Health. It's the entire research ecosystem, if you will, that is impacted by PCF.
Yeah, as we were talking, I thought about, other organizations that I first learned of at PCF. So one example is Movember, which some of the people who are on, this symposium may know, right? Because it's now become a real phenomenon, of Movember, people growing mustaches to support men's health and prostate cancer. And PCF is really the first place I heard of it when they, were much smaller. And how did you, these types of organizations, how do you find them, right? How do you find people to really, start to expand and create, the PCF did a great job of, and you along with it, of, creating these connections with different organizations. And how do you find, did they find you, as an example?
Well, Movember found us when it was just a couple of wild and crazy guys in Melbourne, Australia, having a beer and barbecue on a Sunday afternoon, wondering why men's health didn't receive the attention that perhaps women's health was at the time, at least in Australia. They came to us. Mike Milken is a magnet for all of these organizations. Early on, the Melanoma Research Alliance, the Michael J. Fox Foundation, the Lustgarten Pancreas Cancer Foundation, and the list goes on and on and on, literally came to us for advice on our procedures and practices. I just talked to a group yesterday from a very rare disease group that are starting a foundation, and how do they do it? And I was able to vector them to other rare disease groups. And then within the Milken Institute is a tremendous organization named Faster Cures, which sort of gives a home for best practices to all of these foundations, including PCF. So there's, we don't have people sign non-disclosure agreements like some companies make you do. We offer our advice freely and productively.
Yeah, it's really amazing how the PCF has been a great model organization. So the PCF has funded and been involved in many of the major advancements in prostate cancer care over the past several years. There's a two-part question here, but the first is, what do you see as the biggest successes in advancement in prostate cancer research and care?
Well, that's a tough question because, basically the foundation's fingerprints are on every FDA-approved drug, with the exception maybe of actinium-220, the bone targeting drug at Bayer, because that kind of came out of the woodwork, so we didn't really know much about it. But everything else with an FDA approval that either prolongs or improves the lives of patients with prostate cancer has PCF's fingerprints on it. What am I personally most proud of? Scientifically, I would say PSMA would have to be high on my list. I started in 97. The foundation was actually formed in 1993. And in 1993, a storied urologist from Cornell named Neil Bander was already receiving funding from Mike Milken and what was at that time called CAPCURE, now PCF. Neil Bander was studying this unique cell surface molecule on prostate cancer called PSMA, prostate-specific membrane antigen, and had these wild ideas about making antibodies and adding drugs and isotopes to the antibodies. And, it takes a long time for these programs to progress. And, you fast forward to today, PSMA would have happened without PCF, but it probably would have been a lot later. And who knows, maybe not as good. So I would say the whole PSMA theranostics area, which through generous donations to PCF was expanded to Australia and to New York and to Los Angeles, to major centers of excellence, getting FDA approval for PSMA PET scans for ultimately drugs like Pluvicto. And I would say this is just at its infancy. This is kind of where monoclonal antibodies were when Herceptin was approved way back in the day for breast cancer at Genentech. So now you have a peg in the ground. And I was at a conference in Australia a couple of years ago and was interviewed, what's next? And I said, it's simple, new targets, new isotopes. So Pluvicto is drug number one, and you're going to see a flurry of new isotopes and new targets that doctors will soon become familiar with in clinical trials and hopefully in the not too distant future with FDA approval for prolongation of survival. Drugs that might work when PSMA stops working. So that's
It's
one.
interesting. I mean,
Oh, go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, I mean, it's really interesting that you brought up the history, or you sort of alluded to the history of PSMA, because if we think about, PSMA, I remember when I was a medical student and learning about prostacent and how it didn't work at first. And I won't get into the details of, why it didn't work at first, but it really didn't work at first. And then the question of, really continuing to push with an idea that made sense, that just wasn't working, and being persistent, and then, recognizing how to make that work correctly. And it's really revolutionized what we do. It's a really good lead in to the second part of that question, which is, do you see, were there any failures or missed opportunities that you and our research community learned from? And maybe that's one good example, but any others that you think are worth discussing?
Right. I would say the biggest disappointment for me is immunotherapy. And specifically with checkpoint immunotherapy, which your listeners, if they're, I think most of them are a part of your patient community, Adam, turning on the TV and hearing about pembrolizumab and, all of the immune checkpoint inhibitors that have been widely used now and effectively used and safely used in melanoma, in lung cancer, some of them now emerging in breast cancer and lymphoma and other diseases. It's interesting to tell people that the first patients that were infused with one of the very fir with the very first immune checkpoint antibody, which won a Nobel Prize for Jim Allison, it's now called Yervoy, was first tested in prostate cancer patients. Thank us very much. It only caused side effects and really no toxicity. But, don't give up. I think there's a great deal of hope for getting around the the reasons now that we understand better why these drugs don't work in prostate cancer. So that was a disappointment. I think I also told you when we were chatting a couple of weeks ago about a drug named Velcade from another great Boston company that became Takeda. Velcade is first line treatment for multiple myeloma. That drug was first tested in prostate cancer as well, and it did absolutely the cancer just kind of waved at the drug, whereas patients with multiple myeloma saw their cancer melt away for a good period of time. So, you know, even in our failures, meaning that the drug didn't make it for prostate cancer, we're so pleased to see it benefiting patients with other, you know, malignancies that are considered intractable.
And it may be a com I mean, we just I just saw a talk this morning on some pre, some lab data combining immunotherapy with what are called tyrosine kinase inhibitors for the audience. And maybe it's a question of finding the right combination.
Maybe, maybe. And there are a lot of people working on that. A lot of people working on that.
What do you see as the next major questions in prostate cancer research and clinical care that need to be addressed? I know there are a lot, but maybe, a couple of one or two.
Well, I think your last speakers, the last speakers, you know, I think I believe it was Dr. Einstein that made the comment, you know, we reach a point where our toolbox is depleted. And that's a very sad thing to, I'm sure that the medical oncologists have that very difficult conversation way too often with individuals. Unpleasant and hopefully in the future unnecessary. So we need to really think differently. And ways, you know, I'm looking to work with a Boston-based company right now that may have ways of reversing the resistance to the androgen receptor pathway inhibitors, such as enzalutamide, apalutamide, darolutamide, abiraterone. You know, these are great drugs, and you know, again, the fingerprints of our foundation are all over those drugs. But ultimately, patients become resistant to them. And understanding that resistance pathway and how to turn it back in the other direction is, I think, the most critical thing in GU oncology today.
That's great. So I want to get to the questions. I assume there are some questions that people have. I do want to just ask, if you, how would you advise a patient or family member who's interested in getting involved and helping the prostate cancer community, whether locally, regionally, or nationally, how would you advise them to get involved? What advice
Lots of
did you give people
opportunity.
along the way?
That's a great question. The portal is PCF or paulcharlesfrank.org. It's a great website, and you can take from it and you can give to it. So what can you take from it? Well, first of all, you can see all the research that the organization has funded. Especially proud of all the young investigators, many hundreds of them now, that include people like Adam Feldman and Phil Saylor and David Einstein and many, many others in the global community of prostate cancer research. Also, you will see on this website the fundraising events that the foundation puts on and contacts of people that if somebody wanted to do, and many do, a small local fundraiser, or even a, you know, sponsor a golf tournament or something like that. There are people at PCF that are cited on the website that can help you. And I would say the other real benefit of science, go ahead, everybody should sign up at PCF.org to receive information. There are occasional webinars from esteemed physicians and scientists from all over the world that will inform on real-time issues and processes and progress, and it's another great way to get involved. But the patient information, I I can't say there's a richer place for patients to go to get carefully vetted information on prostate cancer care, all the way from my primary care physician is alarmed, my PSA is 4, what do I do? All the
Right.
way to, my God, I'm failing all these androgen pathway inhibitors. What do I do next? Go to pcf.org and look at all that great physician-vetted patient information. It'll do your head and your hearts a lot of good.
I agree. Over the years, I've routinely, recommended patients go to pcf.org to get information about their care. So maybe, Jordan, are there some questions we can go
Well,
through?
there's just one basic question or thought that seems to be coming through, and I'll echo it, and that is, but if Dr. Sewell can just comment on the work of a local organization and how important it is for, say, Mass PCC, which is now 25 years old, how important it is for people to start on the grassroots level and the cooperation that a group like Mass PCC has with your national group, and why that's so important.
Yeah, well, mergers and acquisitions are not an uncommon phenomenon in our board of directors, and interactions with folks like your organization in Massachusetts would be welcomed. I mean, there's no, it's all about inclusion, never exclusion. The organization would embrace what you're doing and find ways to collaborate with you. Jordan, I can't tell you granularly how that would work, but I would have to leave that to you and with the leadership of PCF to work that out. I will say I'm not new to your organization. When Phil Kantoff was the leadership of GU Oncology at Dana-Farber, I actually came to a live meeting of your group, and I must say my biggest takeaway from that meeting was, boy, the men really ask dumb questions, but these wives and partners ask the best questions of all. So I had a great time at that event, learned a lot, and it's a very tight community.
One more point that I'll bring up, and somebody mentioned this to me, and I remember this watching the Super Bowl. Not a good outcome for the local team this year, of course, but the particular ad, the particular PSA slash commercial that, in a funny way, promoted men getting tested, men getting screened, and we won't go into the details, but that seemed like a watershed because, as you said earlier, the attention, rightfully so, has been paid to those dealing with breast cancer and so forth, and they've done amazing work promoting the cause. You see, that is a groundbreaking step in the next direction, in the right direction for men.
Yes, it is. And PCF has done a lion's share. I mean, when people like Mike Milken and Andy Grove, who you may recall was the founder of Intel, came out of their closets to talk about prostate cancer, Norman Schwarzkopf, Stormin' Norman, the United States Army legend of the first Gulf conflict. These people impacted a lot of people to go to their doctor, have a physical, get tested. Testing for the right people at the right time is still an important topic, but there can't be enough awareness. There just can't be.
That's where the local organizations like MPCC has really, have really done a great job of, reaching out to the community and interacting with the community to make sure people know about screening and testing and it is a hard topic for some men, right, to talk about. So that's why it's so important to have these conversations at the
Well,
local level.
we appreciate you, Dr. Sewell, and certainly you, Dr. Feldman, for taking the time and sharing a bit. And you were the perfect keynote to wrap up our symposium. So thank you both. Have a lovely weekend and continued success.
Stay well, everybody.
I invite you to stay tuned for future podcasts featuring valuable information and resources, the latest in research and treatment, and stories of real people who have challenged prostate cancer and won. To learn more about the Massachusetts Prostate Cancer Coalition and to hear the Prostate Cancer In You podcast, go to masspcc.org. That's masspcc.org. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and with all Android players. This is Jordan Rich wishing you a fabulous day.